Sheena Koops is here this morning to talk to us about treaties and her journey of discovery and understanding of how treaties affect all of us. Sheena is a teacher at Burt Fox School in Fort Capel. I've done a little bit of substitute teaching there years ago. Sheena is not of First Nations lineage, but she does teach many First Nations students. So we're happy that you're able to join us this morning, Sheena.
So nice to be here today in your community. I've been very touched by your service this morning, or the way that you've opened things up. I took some notes, just things that I might bring back to my small group. This morning at 11 in Fort Capel, we have something we call Sunday Circle. And it's mostly my family and a cousin's family, but people that we've met over the years through our community outreach. We used to meet at the outreach center, and we're trying to find a way to indigenize as settler descendant people, and also kind of build a circle where our friends who are First Nations can figure out how to be traditional, be who they are, their own identity, but also follow the teachings of Jesus. Because a lot of times I've found, it's our whole story of colonization that settler descendant people are always telling First Nations people how to believe and what you have to do. And so a lot of people that follow Jesus' teachings have very strict rules that have been put on them, that, and it almost like they can't be themselves. They can't be First Nations and follow Jesus' teachings. So our Sunday circle, we're trying to build a space where we can have a safe place for First Nations people to figure that out, because it's not my job as a settler descendant to tell another group of people how to be. So the candles this morning, I thought that was a way that that we might bring that, I don't know if you call that a ceremony or what it is, but it's beautiful. And the way the children participate, that was also beautiful. So thank you for giving me a gift this morning. Let's go just to treaty walks.
Okay, right here?
That's Twitter. If you go www.treatywalks.com.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to be using this too much, but I just kind of want that as a bit of a backdrop, and I'll mention that a little bit. Because there, if you're... Treaty Ewok.
Yeah.
Is that Star Wars? There are... Star Wars does have treaties. It's helped me... Some of my students connect to the concept of treaty through Star Wars. One of my students even wrote an article that was published comparing Star Wars.
Wow.
I'll take you back. I grew up on a farm in southern Saskatchewan. And as a little girl, I used to walk in our pasture. And I loved to be outdoors. I had a horse. I'd ride down into our valley. And I always knew that there had been people on our land before. I was always looking for the people. And now as a grown-up, I understand that was a real gift, I think, that I was given. Because a lot of people, I think, as we were growing up in our communities, we didn't really realize that there were people here before us. We kind of thought that the land was empty when our ancestors came here. And so as a little girl, I was given that gift of kind of, where are the people? And I remember in the pasture, I would always imagine, like, would they have camped here? Would this have happened? And so I was always looking for the people. I went to high school, and I met some Indigenous people, and I had some beautiful just kind of glimpses into culture. I went to Western Christian College, and there were a couple Indigenous people I met there. They didn't stay very long. I knew them for maybe three months, and two of those people in high school, when they left, they gifted me with an eagle feather. So each, so as a grade 11 and then a grade 12 student, I had two eagle feathers. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know. I just knew that I had been given something beautiful, And I kept them on my dresser, and I even have a box that every time I moved, I would put them in this box because I knew, but I didn't know protocol. I didn't know anything about that. But I had met some of the people. And I had cousins that were adopted into our family and who were indigenous. I have 3 cousins out of 4 cousins that were adopted. And now I understand that that was during the 60s scoop. And so I had family who were indigenous, but again, I didn't know the context. I didn't know, and they all 3 of them struggled in different ways, but they were certainly family. We were very close to that family, and we're close to this day. So that was another intersection with indigenous people, but not, again, really understanding the context. When I went to university, I took a writing class at the First Nations University of Canada. No, what was it called back then? It had a different name. SIFC, yeah. I took a writing class with Gail Bowen and Beth Cuthand, and about half the class was Indigenous and half of us weren't. And there was one man in the class, Alan Clark. I don't know if you ever ran into him. He just lived over here during his university days. And in our class of about 15 people, when we would be workshopping our writing, I would be the first one to talk, blah, 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 blah. And Alan was always the last person to talk. And it was so beautiful. He would always say something perfect and simple and just poof, right to the heart of something. And so I started to learn about listening. I'm still not great at it. But little bit of that, of indigenous way of being in the world, that you listen. And not that every indigenous person is, you know, it kind of sounds like a stereotype, but there is something in teachings that talks about listening and waiting to speak and that humility. So that was another little intersection. My husband and I actually, all through university, we went to university here. We just lived down on Angus and 13th. Is that, am I pointing the right way? That way? I forget where I am. Anyway, we were just behind in that little place by the Artesian. That was our apartment for 6 years. And so we've walked this neighborhood. It was really nostalgic driving in here and walking today. But there were no jobs in Regina for teachers. And so I worked at MasterCard for 3 years. And then we were looking for jobs together. My husband had his education degree by then. And we got jobs in Black Lake, Saskatchewan. Didn't even know where that was. I phoned the Regina library and said, I can't find Black Lake on a map. Where is it? I think we've got jobs there. And the great librarian said, went away, and then she came back to the phone. Ah! She screamed in my ear. She said, do you know where this place is? Because it was right at the top of the province. There were no roads there. It was a fly-in community with Dene First Nation. And so my husband and I took our 6-month-old baby and went to Black Lake for 5 years. And I met the people in a very immersion sort of a way. We lived on the reserve for 5 years. And I would say my treaty walks, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but my treaty walks started in earnest then, but I didn't even know what a treaty was. I didn't even know that I was on Treaty 8 territory at that time. We were teaching on the band school, a band-run school, and I heard them talk, like they would go to the treaty day and they would get their $5, and I knew there was sort of celebration and something about bags of flour, and you know, I just would kind of hear about this, but it had nothing to do with me. The treaty day that they were going to, that I was not there. I didn't know to go there. And so then we left the north after a life-changing experience, and I'm on Facebook with so many people, and I'm their best math teacher, apparently, that they ever had. And I'm a sucky math person, but boy, did I learn how to teach grade 8 and 9 math. And so they said, can I have that in writing, I said? They said, I'm the best math teacher ever. And I would go back there in a heartbeat if my world, because I felt so... I just felt like I was honored in a way that was so wonderful. And my children were like these special people in the community. And so that's my Black Lake. Came back to southern Saskatchewan got a job in rural Saskatchewan, was really passionate about anti-racism. I think since a little girl, I've had a social justice heart. I had my cousins that I knew sometimes got racism, and I wasn't sure what was going on, so I was a real rah-rah anti-racism person, and any kind of justice that I could understand, I was always for that. So rural Saskatchewan, I'm trying to bring this anti-racism forward and finding resistance and yet finding that people, you know, I was in Wolseley, actually knew more because they were right beside Carry the Kettle. And so actually they had some really deep relationships with First Nations people. And I was sort of stereotyping what settler, or I would say white people at that time. I would have been using that terminology. And then I moved to Fort Capel, and it's about 60% Indigenous, maybe 70% are students, but a very upwardly mobile white community, because we have, in the valley, we have doctors and lawyers and all the cottage country people, but we also have rural people from the farms, and then we have First Nations people from all the bands around Fort Capel. So this is very rich and dynamic community. I was teaching there quite a few years, still passionate about anti-racism and about white privilege. I was learning about that and how to interrupt white privilege. And somewhere in there, I started hearing about treaties. And then I heard this concept that we're all treaty people. And that was new to me. I had written a master's thesis called Blue Eyes Remembering Toward Anti-Racist Pedagogy. And I don't think I mentioned treaty once in my thesis. That was 2007, I think, when it was finally published. 2008, the government of Saskatchewan mandated that all teachers, and you probably heard about this, that all teachers were supposed to be bringing treaty education, cross-curricular, math, science, English, not just in Native studies, we're supposed to be bringing treaty teachings into our classroom. And I was hearing about this, but I was like, what are these treaties? What is this about? And we did an Art Smarts grant that we were working with a hip-hop artist from Saskatoon, Equal, and learning about the treaties. And all of a sudden, this light went on, and I started reading a little bit about the treaties. And I thought, oh, what is this? This is my history, and I don't know anything about it. So in 2011, so this is niggling for a few years, 2011, I was reading a book called The Artist Way. Do any of you know that book? Yeah, it's awesome. If you're interested in your own creativity, it's a great book. It has exercises for anybody. If you're a gardener, if you're a potter, if you're a teacher, I find like there's all kinds of ways that we're artists. So in The Artist Way, it gets you to do morning pages. So I was writing in my morning pages, and I wrote, I should get in better shape. And next year I should walk to school. And as I walk to school, I'm going to meditate on the treaties. I wrote this, blah, blah, and then I went on to whatever else. But so all summer long, that was in the spring of 2011, all summer long I was, what was that about? Am I going to walk to school next year? What is that weird? But it wouldn't go away. I kept thinking about that. And finally, the day before school came, and I got a backpack ready, and I started this blog. And I didn't know what I was going to call this blog, but the night before, I brainstormed baby steps, or because I thought, I don't know, what about treaties? And this title, Treaty Walks, came to me, and I thought, that's because we talk about treaty talks, and I thought, that's a fun play on words, Treaty Walks, because I don't even know what to talk about yet about treaties, so how about if I walk treaties? Because where I live, just seeing you, I just saw you last Saturday. Where I live, I walk right past, or I used to drive right past where the Treaty 4 was signed. You know, we're on Treaty 4 territory. Fort Capel, I call it the heart of Treaty 4. And every day I would drive past there, so I started walking past the down our Cooley, past the ski hill, governance center here, powwow grounds here, All Nations Healing Hospital here, after I crossed the bridge. And this became my treaty walks. And every day I would walk, and I would think something about the treaties. And my 13-year-old girl just asked me a couple of days ago, "Mom, I know you said you like meditated on the treaties. What was that like? Like, what were you doing?" And I said, "Oh," I said, "it was not at all romantic like that. I thought it would be when I started, but the first day I was late going to school and my intern was going to be there and I was sweating and taking pictures. And so it was, in a lot of ways, it was a journey of also learning what even does meditation mean. Because I had put that on my blog, something about, I will walk to school every day, the buses run, meditating on the treaties and posting as I go or something like that. And it wasn't at all romantic. It was kind of just this walking to learn and to think and to. So I did. I did 200 days walking to school and walking home every day, about a 35-minute walk, 45 if I started taking pictures. And it was quite a commitment on the my whole family. It was quite a commitment because I didn't have a vehicle to run kids here and there. And so my husband was very supportive. So if you're interested, you could check out, especially the beginning year, 2 years of the blog, I would say are the best reading as far as my journey is concerned. The third year of after I'd started this blog, I was burnt out. I was really burnt out. I didn't blog one post for the whole year. But every day, I, as a teacher, as an activist, as just as a community member, I would say I had something. Every day I learned something that I could have sat down and written for 2 to 3 hours about. And so I was overwhelmed because what I'm learning about the treaties is all around me. Every day now, I'm experiencing something that I can connect to treaties. Last year I blogged a little bit, but I'm now at the point where I think it's going to turn in. I'm applying at the University of Regina to start some doctoral work. And I think I need space to start to understand this thing that I've opened up. So along that line, last February, I went to a conference in Vancouver called Provoking Curriculum. Just awesome. And it was my people. There were all kinds of interesting scholars there. And I wanted to talk about my treaty walks and what I'd learned. But I didn't want to. I only had 20 minutes at this conference, and I didn't know what to say or how to start. And I thought, what if I write a song that tries to present what it is that I've been learning for these last 4 years? And so I'd like to share this song with you now. As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this land of mine. They are living documents, First Peoples and the Crown, building blocks of Canada to which we are bound, sacred agreements, the pipe and the pen, brother to brother, peace, good order to men. As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this land of mine. So you've just heard the introduction and your understanding, as long as the grass grows, you've heard that. And that was Alexander Morris who said that. That was the settler's statement. That wasn't a First Nation statement, that beautiful poetry. So that's kind of the backdrop of the song. And then these next four verses, I'm going to start right from the beginning. We're going to do a whole retake. But the middle part of the song tells the story of treaty. And then I hope that the end of the song gives us something that I'm learning to call reconciliation. That's kind of the next vocabulary thing that I'm learning about now, is this concept of reconciliation. There we go. Cheat sheets in hand. Okay. And since we have this wonderful little break here, and you've kind of learned the chorus, let's pretend I did that on purpose. And feel free to sing along, because I think the chorus... Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I would love that. Feel free. Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay, let's take this right back to the beginning. As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this land of mine. They are living documents, First Peoples and the Crown, building blocks of Canada to which we are bound, sacred agreements, the pipe and the pen, brother to brother, peace, good order to men. As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this land of mine. They are living documents, First Peoples and the Crown, building blocks of Canada to which we are bound, sacred agreements, the pipe and the pen, brother to brother, peace, good order to men. Let's really hear you sing. As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine. My Indian brothers of the plains, I shake hands with you today. I shake hands in my heart. God has given us a good day. I trust His eye is upon us, and all that we do will be for the benefit of His children. Lieutenant Governor Morris told this to Chief Ben Pasqua, he was there, September 1874. On the Pasqua pictograph, he documented Treaty 4. Now his great-granddaughter honors me as her friend. We shake hands in our hearts with Tuskegee. But the Indian Act came along, treaty broken across the land. Residential schools stole the children, systemic racism played its hands. And the settlers, we closed our eyes with worries of our own. And the treaties are forgotten, as history has shown. Well, it's time we opened up our eyes. Promise breakers, be no more. This land we call Canada, from shore to shore to shore, is calling us to honor
word, our law, truth. We are the seventh generation. If not us, then who? As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this hard mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this land of mine, of ours. Getting along with others, me o iche hoen, making a living, pimache hoen. We are one with the land, wataskewen. We are the people of Turtle Island. The treaties make us kin, wakotowen. As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this hard mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this land of ours.
And I'll just wrap up really quickly with a little benediction that I'll leave with you. And it's, go forth and be awkward. And I'm so happy today to have been extra awkward with you. I'm writing a paper right now about writing that song. And the first third of the paper is all about all the the first third of the paper is about kind of researching the song and where all the, you know, kind of how I wrote it and the background of it. That's the first third. The second, the middle part, is called Go Forth and Be Awkward, where I narrate all the mistakes that I made while writing this song. For example, I used three Cree words that I learned were treaty words that the Cree brought to the negotiations. I didn't ask someone how to pronounce them. I sang them wrong. I didn't go and give tobacco to somebody. I knew I should, but I was nervous and actually embarrassed. As a settler person, I'm pretty privileged and I don't have to be embarrassed very much. I can kind of walk in and, you know, I don't have to be awkward. But to go and ask someone to share their language with them, and then I know I have to bring tobacco, and ooh, that's so weird. And so I didn't do it. And I made so many mistakes writing the song. And I even recorded it on Amnesty International radio, singing it wrong, and then I told people about making mistakes. But the third part of this paper I'm writing is about what happens when you still go ahead and be awkward, because doing ally work is awkward. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to be out of your comfort zone, but you have to do that. And in the third part, I talk about a teaching that I got from Elder Elma Putras from Pipikasis, originally from Treaty 6 Onion Lake. And do you know about backwards people? And have you heard about backwards people? In many First Nations groups, they have a teaching, and some people are backwards. And so in ceremony, they'll go backwards. If they're leading the talking circle, they go counterclockwise. And if you be to a powwow at Fort Capel, sometimes you'll see this man dancing backwards. Like not this way, but he goes counterclockwise. Everybody else is going this way. You'll see this one guy going this way. He's a backwards person. And I connect the third part of this thing about being an ally and starting to walk and sing and write into reconciliation is recognizing that I'm not going to be the hero of the story. I'm not going to be all smooth and perfect in this ally work. In fact, I'm going to be awkward and stumbling. But there's this beautiful teaching that if you continue and then do things in a good way when you figure out how. So I did take tobacco to Elder Alma, and I've gone to a sweat lodge with her where they asked me to sing this song in the sweat lodge. And we prayed about reconciliation and about treaties in the sweat lodge. And she told me, as I was laying down in the third round, if you've been to a sweat lodge, it's tough stuff. Like, it was hard. And I was actually laying down. I couldn't even sit up. And she told me, she said, now good things will happen with that song because you've done this in a good way. And so what I'd like to leave with you is continue on. You're doing good work here. And learn the language of reconciliation. I know our grandmothers uniting group has been, you've got an expert in your midst of understanding this beautiful ally work. And don't be worried that if it's awkward, like, get in there. Go to ceremonies. If someone invites you to something, go. If there's a powwow and people are saying, come, go. You belong there. You are a treaty person. My ancestors, your ancestors, we signed those treaties that we would walk together, share this land so that everybody can make a living together. That's those three Cree words in the song. And we belong there, and we're being invited. They raise the British flag every year at Treaty Four Grounds. But the elders say, where is our partners? Where are they? So I'm like often that little white girl. Here I am. I'm so awkward. And they take care of me in my awkwardness. But I welcome the day that we start showing up and being real partners. And I think that's what reconciliation, that's, people aren't asking us to give up everything. They're asking us to join them like brothers. That's a treaty concept, that we are family. And we haven't been very good family. And you know the story of residential school, and you know the story of all the broken treaty. So here we are today, and I celebrate what you have going on here and all the ways that you're interacting with your community. I take great encouragement from that. And thank you so much for letting me be awkward in your presence and welcoming me here. And have a great day. Thank you.